Money and markets. The top story this week was the congressional passage of this year's National Defense Authorization Act. There's one every year, but this year very much debated and discussed on the internet because of provisions for detaining people considered to be suspected terrorists, as well as a variety of other provisions, including those affecting the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay. The bill was sent to the White House today. Senate Armed Service Committee Carl Levin said, those who say that we have written into law a new authority to detain American citizens until the end of hostilities are wrong. Neither the Senate bill nor the conference report establishes new authority to detain American citizens or anybody else. However, the bill does create a new codified legal basis for the detention of quote-unquote suspected terrorists and their allies, and the final legislation states that nothing in it may be, quote, construed to affect existing law or authorities relating to the detention of United States citizens, lawful resident aliens of the United States, or any other persons who are captured or arrested in the United States, unquote. Now, I'm not sure I agree with Senator Levin on this one. The current so-called law and detention and the definition of what a terrorist is keeps getting, or a suspected terrorist, keeps getting murkier and murkier. This bill underscores why I get so concerned about the possibility of constitutional amendments. I believe that the language affirmatively protecting U.S. citizens, I believe in this law that there was, in the draft, there was language at one point affirmatively protecting U.S. citizens, and it was removed. Change the Constitution, and what that then means is that this bill, therefore, has a much different meaning to U.S. citizens, and that's why I continue to be very concerned about grassroots movements that make the idea of a constitutional amendment or a constitutional convention fashionable, because that's going to give some very dangerous people the power to hijack the process in a way that could lead to tremendous day-to-day violence in a world that most middle-class Americans have never experienced. So it's important to remember that we do not have an economic problem. We've got a political problem. And we need to worry about the law that protects everyone in addition to protecting our assets, because ultimately they're absolutely one and the same. Now, the MF Global saga continued, and I've continued to watch it pretty carefully with help from my attorney, because I think the part of the sort of the behavior you're watching in the financial markets is very much connected to what's been happening at MF Global. Last week we saw the former chairman, John Corzine, also former chairman of Goldman Sachs, testified that he knew nothing until late in the game. This week, Corzine testified again in the Senate and was followed by the CME, the exchange head, Duffy, who says that that he believes the problem was not an accounting error or mistake, but a violation of rules, which is a nice way of saying an illegal action. There's $1.2 missing from about 5 to 6 billion of customer accounts. Most of that is in U.S. futures accounts, and there's an additional $250 million in the securities and foreign accounts. The trustee has now paid out, has authorized the transfer of about $4.2 billion of customer accounts. That's expected to be about 72% of what should be in their accounts. One of the ways that happened was the CME put up a guarantee of $500 million to protect against any clawbacks that the judges could authorize. So there's a significant amount of money in play. The judge says they will address physical assets, which includes the gold and precious metals payout in January. Part of the reason for the delay is the issues related to paying out pieces of a bar. And that's part of the problem of what you have with an unallocated pool holding. If the firm has a 400-ounce bar and everybody's got 2 ounces, how do you whack up the bar? Corzine testified in the Financial Service Committee today in the Senate. He insisted again that he didn't know of any misuse of government accounts. A lot of questionings about whether or not there were loopholes in the regulations between here and the UK that allowed them to use customer account or customer account funds to support their European bond position, which is a possibility. But there's several issues going on here that make this case very important. One is the fact that the integrity of customer accounts has been broken, and real questions about the loopholes in the regulation and whether or not assets have been used to support several positions, in what you've often heard me refer to as collateral fraud. And it reminds me, I said this again last week, but I'll say it again, it reminds me of the Barings case we talked about, the movie about Barings, the failure of the Barings firm in the 90s is one of the let's go to the movies in a Solari report last year, the year before, because it tells the story of a trader who lost a certain amount of money, but once it was clear that the firm went down, you know, what later came out, let's say the trader lost X, what later came out was that the missing money was 10X. And you see real patterns in these kinds of situations when a firm's not going to make it. Suddenly they get stripped bare at the last 2 minutes, or trading losses from other places get moved in. And it's sort of a way of stripping something as it goes down. And it certainly feels and looks so far that something here really stinks more than Corzine making a big bet and losing. So I still continue to see who stole what and where it is. We don't know yet, but I think it's probably related to what's going on in the precious metals market. The housing market, we continue to get lots of reports of softness in the market despite continued low mortgage interest rates. The realtors have now been forced to come out and redo their numbers. It turns out their numbers were a little more aggressive than reality in terms of sales and inventories over the last year. It's important to remember in the housing market that markets vary tremendously by place, but I expect this softness to continue for a while. The market can't clear, and that's clearly the result of very official government and banking policies making sure it's so. What's happening is that capital is being preserved for government and corporate debt and basically pulled out of residential housing. And that's not necessarily from a policy standpoint such a bad idea to not. You know, if anything, America has put far too much capital into residential housing as opposed to more productive assets. But at the same time, you know, following a housing bubble as significant as it was, it's a pretty sort of ugly picture. Well, that gets us to the gold price, which I know is on the minds of many of the subscribers this week. We're seeing real tensions in both in the derivative swap market that are spilling over into gold. As people need dollars in the derivative market, needless to say, the dollar skyrocketed this week through, it finally made it through 80, which I've been expecting this year, and it's just hovering a little bit above 80 now. It appears that some of the European banks needed dollars and were selling gold. More importantly, I think what we saw, and this is a guess because we don't have the information to prove it, but I think what we saw was a highly concerted effort to lay in shorts and then bring the price down over the last week and early this week, over last weekend and early this week. And the profits from those trades was enough to engineer filling up and covering some of the shortfall that sort of led to the play. Now, if I had to guess, we're coming into the year-end books being closed out at the end of the fourth quarter. So 12/31 for many financial institutions is the end of the year, and somebody needed to cover a big position before the end of the year. You know, did it come out of MF Global? Did it come out of the European deal? I think all these things are connected, but the picture looks murky. One of my concerns was that some of the shorts were not only in the futures markets, but in the big ETFs. If you haven't read the article that I wrote with Carolyn Betts, the GLD and SLV, disclosure in the Precious Metals Puzzle Palace, I've recommended to you, but there is real, in my opinion, lack of integrity in the sort of collateral, in the depository arrangements behind those ETFs. We describe it in detail in the article, and if you look at some of what's going on with MF Global, sure enough, it's the two custodians for the two depositories for the big ETFs, JP Morgan Chase and HBC are up to their neck in it, and in fact, HBC has brought a lawsuit over a small amount of gold held by a MF Global client who wants to take delivery of their precious metals, and they've basically filed a case to force the trustee to make a decision on this. But I suspect behind that small position, there are lots of other big positions. And needless to say, a lot of people are asking questions about whether or not some of this gold has been used to hypothecate more than once, and it's interesting that the trustee is saying they're not going to turn and deal with the hard assets until after the year-end books close. So it's important to remember that if the people who manage the global financial system are going to continue the slow burn, then they have to really keep a balance between the performance in the gold and silver markets, the commodities market, and the stock, bond, and currency markets. The precious metals markets are tiny. The broader commodities markets are larger, but the stock, bond, and currency market, so financial paper, is even larger. And, of course, we've seen an explosion of paper over the last several decades. So managing the financial system means that there are points at which you have to bring the sort of the tangible markets and the paper markets back into balance, and that's what we see. We saw almost a 200-point drop, and I would call it a whack. But what it really did was it brought things back in balance, given what's going on in Europe and MF Global, and given that we're coming into the year-end numbers. So what we just saw was a rebalancing between tangibles and paper to defend paper's role, and somebody engineered it in a way I'm sure made him a huge amount of money.